Hi, I'm Quentin Hyde, and welcome to another episode of the Quentin Hyde Podcast. So, this episode is going to be about autism, because most people already know this if they've been following me for a little while, but I have that. I have a lighter form of that, essentially, and I wish to talk about it, because everyone right now is talking about autism for some reason, so I think it's only going to be fun to talk to you a little bit about how I have it, what my views are on it, and is there any, like, good sides, bad sides, all that kind of stuff. I feel like that's interesting because it's a very personal view into my life. So, hey, here we go. I have my notes to my left. Because obviously, otherwise, I'm going to be going on a tangent for, like, a longer amount of time. So let me just basically glance at it. There we go. So basically, the first thing that I need to point out is there's a ton of specific autism types, really, and obviously I'm not an expert, but this is all just from my personal perspective and opinions. So what I have, the type of autism that I have, is called Asperger syndrome. Now the thing is, it's not called that anymore because they changed all of it to autism spectrum disorder, and I hate that. I think that's really stupid. I think, like, mental care or just care in general, just like healthcare, should be the thing where you have to be specific. And instead of that, they basically grouped all of it together, even though there's ginormous differences, and grouping them together like smaller subsections, I feel like is much smarter, but they stopped doing that. But I will still forever be using that term because I just feel like it's a much easier term to explain the type of autism that I have. So I will always say Asperger or Asperger syndrome. So what this means for me is that, for starters, basically the way I describe it is that it's not that my brain lacks anything, it's that it puts more power into the cognitive side of my brain, into like cognition, instead of social stuff, especially during development as a kid. So what this means is that I was, as a kid, this sounds so jerky, but much smarter than my peers. However, I was much less social or much less understanding of how social stuff worked. So essentially, like, as a kid, I was already super, like, I could memorize things very well. If you explained something to me, I would understand it most of the time. I understood analysis and all that kind of stuff. But if you were to tell me stuff like, hey, you have to thank this person because they gave you something, my reaction would be, why? Because I always thought, for example, like, I remember this very well, we were in a bus. And at the time, in the Netherlands, when you entered a bus, you had to get a stamp card, because this was before our current system existed, so you had to buy, like, this paper card, and they put stamps on there to see how many times you could still go by bus. That's basically how it worked. And you keep, like, you had to buy a new card every time it was full. It was super annoying, like, an awful, awful system. Regardless, so I remember that very well. Like, he stamped my card, and I just basically moved on. I was, like, 4 or something, and my mom was like, you gotta say thank you, and you're welcome, and that kind of stuff when something like this happens. And my reasoning was, why? Because if we all just imply that we've said thank you or you're welcome, none of us can accidentally be rude when we forget it. And I still feel like that's a pretty fair point, but essentially that's how it worked. Like, all of the power that my brain had, it put it into cognition. So remembering things, all that kind of stuff, instead of putting it into social stuff. So I didn't get my social skills automatically, like most people, but just by seeing and observing. But by having to really think about it, and especially having it explained, like, people would have been like, yeah, you gotta say this or this in this situation, or people will think you're rude. And I'd be like, but why? It makes no sense. And basically, it still doesn't make sense. That's the whole thing. If you think about it logically, most social stuff does not make sense. It's just that we all kind of collectively decided that if you don't do it, you're a rude person. Obviously, you don't want to be a rude person, so that's why you teach yourself to do that. I manage pretty well. Like, I'm a pretty social person. I understand pretty much all social cues, but I think about them in a lot, like, different way. I think about them very cognitively. Like, for example, if someone else is hurt, I'm not going to be thinking, oh, they are hurt because I am sensing this because I understand what hurt looks like. No, basically, I'll look at them and I'll be like, their eyebrows are 45, like, degrees angled in this and this direction. Their mouth corners are, like, a little bit like this. For example, I spot people's lies very easily, most of the time, and I tell them, and people are like, how do you know that? I'm like, well, you're blinking 20% slower than usually. And people are like, are you making this up? And I'm genuinely like, no, because the way I see your emotions is probably different from how other people see your emotions. It still works, it's just different. Ooh, I could put that on a shirt. That just represents me. It works, it's just different. Oh, me in a nutshell, I love that. Yeah, it's just basically, for me, especially as a child, like right now I'm pretty solid in that most of the time, but it was really hard for me to understand social reasoning. Like, why are we doing this the way we are doing this? Because 9 out of 10 times, it just doesn't really add anything, apart from a construct that we've added that, again, doesn't really add anything. But you learn and you overcome that kind of stuff. So in that case, I'm totally fine by that. Another thing is, if you've seen The Big Bang Theory, a show that I personally enjoy a lot. I know that show is like, people only hate that show or love that show. Like, there's pretty much no one who is just kind of okay with it. I love it. I think it's great. And Sheldon, one of the main characters, is definitely depicted as having autism. And one of his things is that he can't spot sarcasm, like, at all. As a child, I had this a little bit more, but it really depends on the person. And right now, I'm pretty solid about 80% of the time, but it really depends on the person and how well I know them, but also the way they say it. Like, for example, I've been told that my personal sarcasm, like, I have two types of sarcasm. My sarcasm is either super uber over the top, or it's just so nuanced that people think that I'm not being sarcastic, because that's basically how it sounds to me. It's either, it's like very, very binary. It's like, it either is absolutely sarcasm or, not sure. That's basically how I hear it. So, do I struggle with it? Well, I don't want to say struggle, because I don't struggle as a whole. I'm a pretty solid person in most of the cases. Anything that is even being affected by autism, I don't really care about. But there are sometimes, like, someone will say something, and I'll be like, I'm not entirely sure if you're being serious. And 9 out of 10 times, people are just like, oh yeah, or no, why didn't you know that? I'll be like, well, I find that hard to spot sometimes. And people are like, oh, sorry, that's cool. No struggle, it's totally cool, but it does sometimes happen that when someone is sarcastic, I'm just like, what? And I just need to make, like, a little bit extra, like, I think the best way to describe me is that I'm a very literal person. I like things to be incredibly literal and specific. That's why a thing that I despise is when someone offers me, like, candy or chips from a bag, and instead of offering me by saying, hey, would you like some? They basically just angle the opening towards the bag to me and just look at me. I hate that, because I'm not entirely sure whether or not you're offering me or you're just showing me that you have it or how much is in there. And I don't want to be that person that takes some and then have someone say like, oh, I was actually just showing you, but that's fine. Because then I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, because I wasn't meaning to do that. You know, that 9 out of 10 times I just kind of go for it and take some, because I live under the rule it's easier to ask forgiveness than to ask permission. So if I steal a chip or like a candy, and it wasn't the case, like, they're not gonna get angry with me, obviously, you know? So most of the time I just go for it, but it is kind of annoying to me. So there have been moments in which I've been like, are you showing me or just offering me? And people have been like, why would I show you? I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe you wanted to show me how much you've eaten in the time that we were talking. There could be a reason. I like things being very literal. I like that a lot. Another thing that I definitely have, just for context, by the way, this video is split into stuff that is Asperger as a whole, stuff that I am, stuff that society does that bothers me, and also the upsides, because everything has upsides, so that's kind of cool. And we're kind of currently going through the stuff that I have, obviously. One of the things that I definitely have, or am, I don't know if you have it or are it, but I'm very apathetic. I have a lot of apathy. Oh yeah, you could do that both ways. Okay, got it. I genuinely don't care about so many things. And people are often like, well, that's very unpleasant. I'm just like, well, I don't know, but here's the thing, I can pretend that I care about something. But that feels wrong to me. And literally, most of the time, I just really don't care. Like, people will just, can I think of a good example? Like, someone could be telling me a story of something that has happened to them. If this story is not interesting, I genuinely don't care. And this might be the case for everyone, because that sounds like something other people should be having too. But 9 out of 10 times, I don't care. Another great example, which is actually something I'm gonna get into later, is when people say autistic people and normal people. I know that there's a ton of people who are just like, you can't say normal because that way you're telling people that autism isn't normal and you're vilifying it, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I don't give a poop. I so don't care about that. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, normal. I say normal too. I don't care. I genuinely don't care. Other stuff, the way people think about me, I don't care. I'm changing that. If people say positive things about me, I care. If people are like, oh, you're very cool, I'm like, oh, thank you so much, oh, that means so much. If people are like, I hate you, it slides off super easily because I don't care about other people. I don't care about pretty much anyone's opinion. And that sounds very harsh, but it's the case. And I can't lie about it, but I don't. I really, like, I care more about people that I have personal connections with, but, and that, you know, family, friends, only if I like them, of course, but also you as my audience. And that's very funny, because there's a lot of influencers and creators out there who genuinely don't care about their audience, and you'd expect that me, as an empathetic autistic person, would not care about a group of people that I do not see in real life. But I actually do, because I personally put so much of my, like, love into my content that I do have a pretty strong connection to my audience, but mainly if they fall in my target audience. So if someone is an outlier and they're nice, it's still fine, but if they're an outlier outside of my target and they're also bothering me, I don't care about their existence. That sounds harsh, but if it's like, if this person is clearly not the people I'm trying to target and they're also being unpleasant to me or to other audience members or to just like as a person, I don't care. I don't care about unpleasant people's like existence unless their unpleasantness is so heavy that it affects people strongly. So like, I do care about stuff like racism, sexism, homophobia, all of that. That pisses me off. Because I'm like, if you're affecting people's way of being born to the extent that they can't be the person that they want to be, that is something that bothers me. Because I'm like, who the hell are you to affect someone that negatively? Because it's like, if... No, this is a... Yeah, that's why it doesn't bother me that much if people make autism jokes. Or that much. Not at all. I love the memes. Like, I don't know if you remember the autistic screeching meme. Like, my friends would Photoshop my face on that. That was funny as heck to me. I love that stuff. I love autism jokes. I think that is funny. Because it doesn't affect me at all. And I think from my own perspective. But I also am thinking, like... For example, if you take homophobia, that literally ends up with people getting killed in some occasions. Of course I care about that, because that's like a heavy, like a really heavy thing. I feel like this was a huge, like a lot of rattling. But I feel like I made my point when I say that I have like apathy for, like in certain occasions. Something that is also pretty harsh, but you know, we're sharing, so I'm just putting it out there. There's only 4 friends that I have whose opinion would actually matter to me. I'm not telling you who it is though. I will genuinely not tell you who this is because it's not that I don't care about my other friends or I don't love my other friends, but there's only 4 people, if they would be mad at me or say, I genuinely don't like it when you do this, I would take this personally and be like, oh, I'm sorry. For all the others, even though I love them dearly and I love spending time with them, if they'd be like, I don't like when you do this, or, unless, you know, obviously I did something wrong, obviously. But, or like, when they're like, I don't like this particular thing that you made, I don't care. There's only 4 people whose, like, genuine opinion matters to me 100%. And that's harsh, and I'm never gonna tell anyone who that is, because it's mean to the people who are not that, because they might feel like I don't value them enough, which I do. It's just those particular people, I don't know. I actually don't know why. I actually do not know why. Why that's the case. But it is the case. Another thing is that I've mentioned this before, I'm very, like, driven on logic and literalism. It auto-corrected to that. I'm not even sure if literalism is used correctly. I started typing it and, like, auto-completion, which is like, you want to say literalism. And I was just like, you know what? Sure. It sounds like some sort of R direction, but sure. I'll write down literalism. That's why I like it a lot when people are clear about, for example, the chips offering and that kind of stuff. And logic to me is very important, and that can sometimes be slightly tricky in, like, personal relationships when someone feels bad and I ask them, like, oh, why are you feeling bad? Why are you angry? Why are you sad? And they tell me, I don't know. That ticks me off, because I'm like, how the hell do you not know why you're sad? Sadness doesn't just arrive, it has to come from something. Like, think back, did you read something sad? Did someone tell you something sad? Were you thinking of something sad or something that is gonna happen or has happened? There has to be some reason. And I know that's probably not the case. I know that probably there is some mental stuff that can just maneuver you into feeling sad without knowing how, but I don't have this. I've never had, like, I had this one time in my life where I just randomly felt sad a whole day. And people were like, oh, are you okay? I was like, no, I feel sad, but I don't know why. And they were like, oh, that's fine. And then I literally told that person, no, it's not fine. I have no reason to be sad. I have no logical reason that I can pinpoint that has caused my sadness. I'm feeling that like this randomly. And therefore, I don't feel like I should have these emotions. And I know a lot of people are like, no, your emotions are always valid. And I will tell other people this too. But I feel like if you have zero reason to be sad, I can't fathom it. I don't understand it because I have zero reference to this. I have no reference to people, like to having emotions for no reason. If I'm happy, something cool happened. If I'm sad, something bad happened. If I'm angry, something, you know, angry happened. What was that sentence? That was not a good sentence. That's why I don't understand when people are feeling a way without having a reason. And if your reason is like, yeah, I have like a brain deficiency, my hormones are out of whack, you know, all that kind of stuff, that is a biological reason that I can get into. But if you don't have that and all of a sudden you're like, I feel sad. Why? Don't know. I'm just like, oh, then think there must be a reason. How the hell am I supposed to help you if I don't know why you're sad? Little bit of a rant, and I know people can't help it, and I can't get upset over it, but I can't fathom it. I don't understand it, and I think that is my main autism trait that I will keep the rest of my life, that it's very hard for me to overcome. I don't understand your emotions if you cannot explain them to me as if it were a thesis. If I feel sad right now, and I will be able to explain to you exactly why. I might not want to, but I will always know why. So that is kind of the stuff that I have most of the time, or like the more negative stuff that I have because of autism. Moving on to stuff that society does that bothers me. You're probably thinking that I'm gonna go on like a huge social justice rant. And I kind of am, but on the opposite side. Because I feel like most people are acting very weirdly when it comes to autism. Because right now, I actually was talking about this to some other people recently. Autism right now is the trend. Everyone right now is talking about we need to fight for the autistic people, and you know, people are self-diagnosing themselves with autism because they did a BuzzFeed quiz and all that kind of stuff. You know, a few weeks ago it was depression probably. At some point it was dissociative identity disorder. People really every few weeks just pinpoint a new mental disorder. And are just like, yeah, right now, this is our project. And they just fight on Twitter with everyone who just mentions it. And I'm just like, 9 out of 10 times you're doing it wrong. 9 out of 10 times you're not helping at all. And also, why are you speaking for me? I feel like I don't like it when people speak for me. And you're probably, you know, obviously people are also speaking for other autistic people. But I feel so uncomfortable when a non-autistic person is gonna speak essentially for me on something they don't have. Like, I'm not gonna speak for, like, and be like, this is how this person feels. Because I don't know how that person feels. How the hell are you gonna talk for me? So, the first thing that is currently happening is people are enforcing a ton of PC rules on autism and autism terminology. I despise that. I recently found out about the words neurotypical and neurodivergent, meaning neurotypical is considered people who don't have autism or anything other that changes their, you know, neurons and brain, whatever. And neurodivergent is, for example, autism. I thought these words sounded so cool when I heard them in a TV show. I was like, that is the coolest way to put it. Until I found out that people are using that as a PC substitute for saying autism or non-autism. And I was just like, dude, now I don't like it anymore. I don't like it anymore because people are enforcing it on people. Because if someone is like talks to me and they're like, you're autistic, and I'm like, yes, I'm not gonna get upset because they didn't say neurodivergent. Stop doing that. You're making it harder for people who already don't understand it. Because, you know, most people don't understand autism. So if you're gonna enforce that on people, it's only gonna piss people off, like at least some people, and they're gonna be like, yo, what? You know, it's gonna scare people, they don't know what you're talking about. Because most people, when I see people like correcting others online, they do it so aggressively. So aggressively. Like, imagine I have someone talking to me on Twitter, and people will be like, oh, how is that different from normal people? I don't care if you say normal, because I, like, hell, I don't even want to be normal, because I hate normalcy. That's a word, right? Normalcy? Normalcy? Okay, I'm doubting a little bit, but you got what I was trying to say. I don't care about that. And other people might, and they might come in and they'd be like, hey, you can't say normal because some people might get offended by that, etc., etc. I don't really get why you would get offended by that, because just get over it is what I personally think. As an autistic man, I feel like I can say this without people getting angry, at least I hope. But instead of explaining it, people often come in and they're like, you can't say this, you're bigoted and awful, and I'm just like, oh, whoa, calm down. Calm down, you could have just explained this to this person without scaring them up a tree. Not like a literal tree, but you know. Oh, that's funny because Twitter has a bird logo and birds are often in trees. It's actually not that funny now that I'm saying it. I'm so sorry. I don't like when they enforce too many rules. Like, here's the thing. If people are like, hey, don't call autistic people, like, super stupid or something, I'm like, yeah, that's just normal human decency. That you don't call someone super stupid just for something that they have. Duh. But if people are like, no, you can only say these specific words and not this and only this on a Wednesday, I'm just like, what are you doing? Because like I said in the beginning, I use the word Asperger's. And this was because of the guy called Hans Asperger. He came up with the term because he researched specifically Asperger's syndrome, etc., etc. Now there was this one person on Twitter that was like, you can never say Asperger's again, because that is highly damaging to the community, because there was some evidence or like some stuff came out that Hans Asperger's might have been a Nazi. The name is no longer that man's name, it's a term now. And no one knew this for starters, you brought it up. And I'm just like, you really think that when someone uses, no, it doesn't hurt the community because the Nazis have nothing to do with it. Like, for sure, if the name had been Hitler, and people were like, yeah, I have Hitler syndrome, for sure, I would have been like, maybe change that. But because some guy might have been a Nazi, maybe he was, maybe he 100% was, I haven't really looked into that, like, recently, so maybe there was, like, more development. It's not his name anymore. His name turned into, the syndrome. And by doing this, you're just shining a light on, like, you're putting more negativity in the community, because you're enforcing more and more rules that make it harder for people that don't understand to actually understand. And I'm just like, 9 out of 10 times it's people who don't have it, who are not helping at all. And I appreciate it, because they try to help, because they're not doing that out of malice. They're doing that because they genuinely wish to help, but they often don't, in my opinion. But, you know, obviously, you could have a different opinion on this, and I would love to talk about it. Quick plug to my Twitter, @QuintinHyde, just like the podcast. You can also DM me on Instagram, but the chances of me seeing that are very small, because I get hundreds of DMs a day. My Twitter is relatively empty, so please use the Twitter, or if you're watching this on YouTube, use the comment section. I would love to talk about that kind of stuff. I think it's actually very interesting. But that is my opinion on putting too many rules that don't necessarily help on, like, the whole thing. Something I also don't like that society does, which is also like very much on the other side of the spectrum. Haha, spectrum. Okay, I'm sorry. I wasn't planning that joke. I actually quite like it myself. Is being treated like a baby. I'm so happy that our generation does not do this anymore because autism is understood way more. But this moment, I had this very nice teacher in high school. He was so lovely. But the moment he found out I had autism, he started, and he meant this so nice, he meant this with no malice at all. He would do, like, throughout the lessons and throughout class, he would just stop sometimes, walk up to me and just whisper stuff like, hey champ, are you still holding up? Can you still catch up? Can you still, you know, keep up to everything? While he knew me for 2 years and I aced every single class. Not only his class, but literally all classes in high school that I had apart from math. I hate math. Math can die. I'm sorry. I hate math. It's awful. But other than that, every class I've aced. And I'm just like, just because you found out I had autism last week doesn't mean that I suddenly changed as a person and don't understand what I'm doing. Additionally, like when I signed up for my University of Applied Sciences study, they asked me stuff like, are you autistic? Yes or no? And I purposely click no, because if you click yes, they're gonna give you extra help and guidance, and which is great if you need it. If you need it, there's no shame in that. I always am like, if you need extra guidance or extra help, everyone needs specific extra help or, you know, extra special something, supplements, whatever. Like, someone who needs extra vitamin D, that's also special needs when it comes, like, in comparison to needing to have extra guidance. That's perfect, but I don't need it, so I always click no, because there's always this one freaking teacher that's gonna be like, hey, are you doing okay? And I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, if you observe me, and you observe the way I talk and act and the way I literally ace everything that I put effort into. That sounded very jerky. That was not the way I was. Okay, let's just put it differently. Everything that I care about, I put so much effort in that I will be sure to succeed because I genuinely care about it. And obsessive nature is actually, fun fact, part of autism and specifically Asperger. That's why I put so much effort into content, because content creation is my passion slash obsession for probably ever. And that's why I'm always like, I never bring it up in the beginning of knowing someone, because I've had people be like, huh? You got autism? Oh, I did not expect that. And I'm just like, stop. There are definitely people who will require your guidance or require you, or like, would like prefer for you to be a little bit different. But you can, it's a case by case thing. You can see me and just be like, ah, this guy, apart from being very strange in certain occasions, because most of the stuff that I do is just, I act differently than most people. You can just, you understand that, like the way I speak, like, be honest with me, I don't think I come across as dumb. I feel like I do not come across as unintelligent when I speak or the way I hold myself and all that kind of stuff. I'm a social guy, so you don't need to treat me differently. It's just that when I ask you, are you sarcastic? I would like to have a response, and that's pretty much it. So yeah, the babying, not a fan, but luckily our generation doesn't really do that. So it's a thing of the past, so I'm kind of happy about that. Something that like bothers me a lot, it's been happening on the internet for the last 2 months. Faking autism. Why would you do that? It's not that it upsets me, it's just that it's weird. It's very strange to me. My friend sent me this TikTok the other day from this girl, and literally all her posts were about having autism. It was all like, you know, I have autism, this is my autism, etc. The thing is, you could see, she was like, because she was like, she started to do something that people call stims. Didn't even know that this was a word until like 3 days back, which was like a stimulant in which a person responds in a specific way to a specific thing. For example, to me, something that I struggle with is if two tracks of audio are playing at once. So if you play a song and you play a second song, unless you know you mix it or something, that's fine. But if you play two songs at the same time and it just doesn't match up, like I go a little bit like my eyes might look a little bit twitchy because I'm just like, what are you doing? Because it's very hard for me to upkeep that and still like focus on my surroundings. And this girl on TikTok was basically like, this is my positive stimulant song. And she just started to like fakely like flap her arms. And that's fun, by the way. I did that as a kid. Like when I would genuinely got happy, I would like pretend like I was flying. But anyway, she would like do it very strangely, but fake. It was so clearly fake. It was like, I was looking at that, I was like, this is not real. And literally all the comments were like, this is not real. Do you have autism? And she was just like, well, technically I'm not diagnosed, but I once did a test online. I'm just like, no. It makes sense if you literally like know people and you tick off like a bunch of the signs that you can be like, I am most likely autistic. But doing a freaking BuzzFeed test is not your diagnosis. And I don't understand why you would fake it so clearly. Because here's the thing, I feel like, and I talked about this subject with the same friend, why do people fake this? And he quoted one of his friends who had said, people are so focused on capitalizing on their flaws or like their differences instead of the more positive difference. Wow, my camera just got cut. I didn't even know it had a limit. Man, this is the longest episode yet. I'm so sorry. Unless you're enjoying this. In that case, I'm not sorry. Anyway, he basically was like, people capitalize too much on like their more negative like aspects. Because here's the thing. To me, autism is not necessarily negative, but to a lot of people it is. Because to a lot of people, it affects the way they live and it makes it a little bit harder on them. So to them, it would be a little bit more negative. But people who don't have anything like a mental disorder, for some reason, are now starting to flock and diagnose themselves because they feel like they need to have it in order to be interesting. And please let me tell you, you are already interesting. If you don't have any disorder or anything just, you know, differently wired, you're still a very cool person if you're a good person, because your specialties and your interestingness might lie in your positive skills. You might be a great singer, a great artist, wonderful at learning languages, or even just a very nice person. People are underestimating how special and good it is to be a genuinely nice person. You don't need to fake a disorder in order to be interesting. And my friend used this quote, which is like, people don't want to be a porcelain cup gotten out of the pack. They want to be that one porcelain cup that cracked and was like glued back together because it looks more interesting. You don't have to look more interesting, because I promise you, you are already plenty interesting. Trust me. It's strange to fake it. It's strange to me to fake something you don't have. Not because, like I said, I am apathetic enough to not be offended. I'm pretty much never offended at all. I know that there's people who are like, this is so offensive, I really don't care. You would never offend me by making any autism jokes or even faking it. I just don't understand why you would do it. It makes no sense to me. It's very illogical. And like I said earlier, I like being logical. So I would advise against it and literally just focus on your own specialties. Genuinely. Something I also don't like is actually autistic people who make autism their whole personality. I reference it occasionally because it's a part of me and I reference it sometimes. But there are people out there who feel the need to address it every three sentences. I know people who are literally just like, did you know I have autism? And I'm like, uh-huh. And like, they just hold their breath and they're just like, sure have autism today. I'm just like, what are you doing? Why is this your whole personality trait? I personally believe that something you are born with should never be your whole personality, because it's just something that you are. It affects your personality, for sure. And it could be part of who you become, absolutely. But I would hate to be known as the autistic guy. And I know that sometimes people make jokes about this because I find that funny, but I would hate, like, people, I hope that you think of me as Quentin, the guy who's hopefully funny, hopefully insightful, hopefully kind, because that's the things that I care about, who makes funny videos online that I enjoy, and even when I'm a little bit sad, I can look at that and I feel like Quentin has a genuine connection to me and we're having a lot of fun and is funny and I laugh and I like him and his friends. I would hate for you to literally think, Quentin, oh, he's that one autistic guy. I don't want that to define me as a whole person, so I don't understand why some people do. And here's the thing, it's different if your content is genuinely about that. Like, there are people who are literally autism awareness, who just bring awareness, they are there to educate, that's fun. I am like, you know, that is your niche, that is what you're focusing on. But if for some reason everything needs to be about that all the time, I don't know, if it makes me feel a little bit itchy, because I'm just like, why? Because that feels like it almost ties in with faking it, even though it's not fake, where you're like, why is that your main focus? I'm sure you have tons of other beautiful qualities to focus on, and having autism could be one of them because you like to talk about that. I can never tell you to not talk about anything, but please don't embody something perfect. My mom once said is, oh yeah, for context, I should have brought that up in the beginning. My mom and pretty much my whole mom's side of the family, we all have Asperger's. My mom once said, I have autism, I'm not autistic. She was like, if I have the flu, I have the flu. I don't suddenly am the flu. And I was just like, yo, that's very cool. She was like, it's part of me, but it's never going to be fully who I am. And I feel like that quote itself, it works better in Dutch, I'm going to say. But that quote to me means a lot because I'm like, I feel like that's very fair. Enough about what society does that I don't really like, because it's a very dry subject, very dark, and everyone, you know, you're probably crying right now. Probably are. So let's get to the upsides, because most not downsides, luckily, when you think about them, have some upsides. So there are some things that I call my superpowers that are just added to me being autistic that I enjoy. And I'm like, I like having these particular things most of the time. The first one is my memory. I remember almost everything to infinity and beyond. Buzz Lightyear 2019. It's not 2019, and I don't know why I said 2019, but I remember pretty much everything. I put things on like a spectrum of remembrance. I have things that I do not wish to remember, I will remember forever. This is unfortunate. I wish I didn't have that one, but stuff that I genuinely hate because it affected me personally and made me very sad, I will remember forever and ever and ever. On the other side, stuff that I care about a lot and like, I will remember forever and ever and ever, which is why, for example, when it comes to content creation, I know pretty much everything from head. If someone's like, oh, how would I edit this and this? I can literally quote you through the entire steps of doing so because I like it. Then in the middle, something that is completely neutral that I don't necessarily want to remember or would wish to forget, I also remember. And that's the kind of stuff, like, I can literally recall times where I was 6 years old walking to this Dutch store called the Hema with my mom, and I looked up and I saw, like, an air vent, and I remember thinking, huh, what would be behind that air vent? I still remember what it looked like, I still remember where I was walking, I still remember the temperature, what my mom was wearing, all of that stuff. Do I want to remember that? No. Do I want to forget that? No. It's just there, and that is also something that pretty much ends up in my memory forever. The only things that I will forget, and this is actually, this kind of low-key sucks, is stuff that I don't care about but have to remember. Example, I have an appointment at 1, but I don't really want to go to that. I don't really care about that appointment, but I have to go. I need to note that down in my, like, my calendar. I use my phone for that, like, iCloud calendar. If I don't, I will forget. Same was for school. That's why school wasn't super easy for me. Because I didn't care about most of the subjects, but I had to remember them. So I would read, like, this whole chapter, and I'd be like, yeah, I don't care about history class, so I forgot the whole thing. On the other side, stuff like English class and biology, who were my favorites, I remembered instantaneous because I liked it, and I wanted to remember that, but I also enjoyed it. If I don't enjoy it, but have to remember it, and it's not like the neutral, I don't necessarily need to remember it, I forget it. But other than that, having a super memory is kind of fun. You kind of just kind of have to, you know, be careful about it because sometimes someone is like, hey, remember that time we, and I'm just like, yeah, that time you wore a like pink shirt and it was this temperature and it started raining 30 minutes later and we met this one person and you said this and you ate a banana and people are just like, dude, what? So you kind of have to tone it down a little bit sometimes. But overall, it's cool to have. A unique sense of humor. I was taught this when I had like my autism training as a kid. I forgot. That was actually a pretty solid thing to mention in the beginning, I guess. But as a kid, I had some training. I literally only attended it because I wanted to meet other autistic kids because the training added nothing to me because my mom had already taught me everything, but it was fun to hang with other autistic kids. But they already told me, like, specifically Asperger's often have other senses of humor. And if you've watched me ever, you know that that's the case. I can absolutely crack the heck up over something that's not even funny to anyone else, and I could see the funniest movie of the year and not crack a smile. For example, a while ago, I must say I was slightly intoxicated when it happened. My friend Jasper, okay, when I say slightly intoxicated, I had done some marijuana. And I was a little bit high, and my friend Jesper, he said, now you're Quentin, hide. The joke obviously being a pun on high and my last name. Thing is, at the moment, I didn't quite grasp it, and I started laughing for like 30 minutes. And then I was like, wait, oh, you're making a pun on high. And it was just like, what are you laughing at? And I was just like, I thought you were just like elongating my name. And that stuff to me is hilarious. Literally, if someone looks at me and just goes, Quentin, hide. Literally my name, I can die over that for like 20 minutes. depends on the subject, like who does it and like the situation, but that kind of stuff can kill me. And I think that's fun because that other perspective on humor is what I think a lot of people enjoy when they watch me and they're like, this is a kind of humor that I didn't necessarily expect or see a lot. And that's something I very much enjoy. Another thing is a unique view on things overall. I feel like it's very hard for me to put my mindset and my mind space in one specific label. Because I think about things on like a lot of different levels and a lot of different levels. I said the same thing twice, but like differently from other people, where my perspective on things might differ strongly from others, which is why people often ask me for like solutions to problems or like taking a look at like graphs and that kind of stuff, because I see things differently. And I think it's fun because, well, we need things, or like people who see things differently, because it adds things, and having different views on things is fun and it's good, and you can come up with good ideas that way, and I like that. And it also helps me think of crazy video ideas, because people often ask me, how do you come up with your jokes and your crazy video ideas? But the thing is, I don't come up with them. Like, it's not like I come sit down and like I'm like, oh, what am I gonna make this time? What am I gonna think of this time? I literally just walk somewhere, I'm just like, you know what? I'm selling my friend on eBay. That kind of stuff. It just comes all of a sudden. I note it down and that's how it happens. I don't actively brainstorm things. And lastly, highly analytical. Because I say a lot of my brain power goes into like my cognitive side. I'm very analytical. As a kid, I was tested for being like intellectually gifted. And they settled on, no, he's not, / too young to test. However, he is gifted in one department, and that is reasoning and analytical skills. Because it's very easy for me, like, is why, imagine you give me like 17 graphs for like videos, for example, because again, I love that. I could literally look at that and go, oh yeah, people clicked off on your video in this spot because you said the word the a little bit too often. And they're like, how do you say that? How do you know that? I'm like, well, you see, if you take these 18 graphs, you look at that and you look at the timestamps, you're blue, 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 and people are like, how did you grasp this? But that is, to me, very easy. Like, when you give me numbers, even though I hate math, like I said, but if you give me statistics or reasoning or why, or you ask me stuff like, why is this person doing this the way they are, I can often analyze this quite well and tell you what I think. Because, especially, like, why does this person act the way they do? I always reason to myself why they do something, because emotions don't just come to me and I'm like, oh, they do this and they feel like this. I always have to reason why. Which is why reasoning things and thinking this is probably happening because of this is relatively easy to me. And like overanalyzing or like psychoanalyzing people, because that's what I do all the time. And I like that. And those are the things that I think add a lot to my life, because I use these on a regular. And I like ending this on a good note with, there are some things that autism has given me, and also my family, by the way, which I enjoy, and that's a lot of fun. So hey, this was a long one. This was a long episode, but there, you know, obviously I could have talked about this for ages more. If you have any questions or anything you want to share, or you don't agree with something even, I would love to hear it in the comments on YouTube, or if you're listening to this on Spotify, it's still not on Apple Podcasts because they're very difficult. You can also tweet me at Quinton Hyde. Tweeting me is very easy because 9 out of 10 times I will read it, because I don't have a lot of Twitter followers in comparison to other places. So hey, let's go for this. It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for listening to this. If you're literally here on the end, man, you're listening to me ramble for 45 minutes. So thank you so much. And I would love to see you next time.